Hello and welcome to World Football on the BBC World Service. I'm Manny Jasmi. Coming up, we get an insight into the pressure that comes with playing for Barcelona.
Finally, now I am having consistency. I'm feeling very important. This manager has trusted me, has given me what I needed, and all the players count on me very much, and I'm probably going through my best spell.
We're in the Brazilian city of Curitiba, which has just 5 more days left to get its World Cup stadium ready.
So just walking up some stairs, still walking through rubble, bits of plaster, exposed electrical wiring, and looking at some glass screens, and I'm guessing these are the VIP areas.
And we ask what Switzerland's vote to restrict immigration will mean for its national team.
We definitely created the last 20 years a team, a lot of foreign players. Actually, the team today is definitely one of the strongest we had. Going forward, yeah, it will have an impact. Maybe in a longer term, for sure.
But first, the Barcelona and Spain midfielder Cesc Fabregas has told World Football that he's finally feeling secure and a part of the team at the Spanish Champions. Fabregas, who's 26 and has already played 86 times for Spain, winning 2 World Cups and the European Championship, returned to Camp Nou, where he spent his formative years in 2011, after 8 years at Arsenal. Barca are currently in a fierce struggle with Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid for the Spanish title, and all 3 teams go into the weekend's fixtures level on points at the top of the table. They also have a mouth-watering tie with Manchester City in the last 16 of the European Champions League coming up. The first leg is here in Manchester next week, but Fabregas has told World Football's Ashish Sharma he's not worried about City's home form, which has already yielded 72 goals so far this season.
There's only one way we know how to play football, which is keeping the ball well, passing it around and try to create chances. We don't know how to play any other way. We are not going to play long balls. We are not going to play defensive, all of us, in one half. We don't know how to do that. So we will obviously just play the way we want to play, and it's up to them to see if they will come out and pressure us up front, which I doubt, or they will stay basically all the players defending in their half, and when they can pressure, they will, and they will try to go to counter-attack. This is how I think they will play, but you never know in football. And Pellegrini has always put things difficult for us, so it's going to be an exciting day.
There have been some people that have been writing Spain off and saying that, oh, the team is past its best, because the reference goes back to the Confederations Cup and that defeat against Brazil, which was a big surprise. No one really expected that. How significant do you think that was?
We arrived to the final of the Confederations Cup again.
But with Spain, you expect to win it, not just arrive.
Yeah, but you play in Brazil, you play against Brazil, they play in their country, they play in front of their fans. You cannot win all the time. Sometimes you lose. We lost in a final. The minimum you can ask for is being the final, and then you lose against Brazil. It can happen, not just because of this. Now we are bad all of a sudden.
What did you as a team learn after that defeat in Brazil, as a squad, as individuals?
We learned that everyone is against us, in terms of everyone wants to beat us. We were playing against Nigeria, we played against Italy, we played 2 more games, and all the fans were booing us. Every time we touched the ball, they were going against us, so we know what we will find there. You know, we have an experience from that. That's why it's always nice, even if you don't win it, to go the year before to the Confederations Cup, to the country where the World Cup will be played. It happened in South Africa a year before. We knew what we were going to find, and it helps a bit to see.
It's an interesting group you have as well, and of course you start off your first game against the team that you played 4 years ago in the final against the Netherlands. What was the reaction when that came out in the draw, but more so that it's the first game you play as well?
Yeah, well, I prefer that. To be honest, I prefer to play the first game, the strongest team. And that's obviously Holland. There's also Chile, they're playing really good. They beat England recently. And I think they could be one of the national teams who make the surprise in the World Cup. And they've grown up tactically, I think. Before, they were all running up and down all over the place, but now they know what they're doing, and they're a very dangerous side. They play counter-attack, they play also passing and moving, and I think they're a very dangerous side. We thought it's probably the toughest group out of all, and we'll have to be at our best if we want to go through, otherwise we have no chance.
Last summer there was a lot of transfer stories and rumours. How close were you to actually leaving Barcelona? Was it ever an issue?
I don't want to talk about this because it's past. I'm going through an amazing moment here. Probably the best moment since I got here. I'm playing nearly everything. I feel very important into the team and that's it. Whatever was said, was said. It's always flattering when a club like Man United talks very well about you and you can see that they want you. They're a top club, but I'm very happy here now.
Were you surprised that Juan Mata did leave to go there from Chelsea? Did that sort of make you think, well, what's happening here?
Yes, actually I was surprised because I think Juan has been best player for Chelsea over the last 2 years. He had amazing performances and they won Champions League, the European Cup. He scored in the final of the European Championship with Spain and he won the FA Cup, I think, as well, being an important player. So, yes, I was surprised.
And, of course, Arsenal is the team very close to your heart. They're having a pretty good season. Can you explain the resurgence in what's happening there at the Emirates?
Arsenal, I have it in my heart. They gave me everything as a person and a footballer can ask for. That's why I don't want to talk too much, because I know some people, they felt bad when I left. They didn't understand my reasons. They consider me like I left in bad manners.
What were your reasons? Can you talk about your reasons why you wanted to leave in that moment? Was it because of the pull of here?
There's no need. People who needs to know. And the most important figure to me was Arsene Wenger, who I have to be grateful all my life to him, and that's it. I owe him nearly everything, and I owe him my reasons. Arsenal fans have been nothing but amazing to me, and that's why I don't want to keep talking too much, because they've moved on, they are doing very well, I'm very happy for them, and let's see what the future brings.
What about yourself here at Barca? How would you say you've developed as a player?
Well, I started very well, I started brilliantly, I would say. My first 6 months were amazing. Then I had a little bit of a dip, maybe I didn't count as much for the manager as I would have liked. Then last season, a little bit more of the same. And this season probably is the season where I'm feeling more myself, more freedom, more secure with the way I like to play. It's not easy when you know you have to convince many fans of how good you are and how good you can be for the team. When I was at Arsenal, I was a big piece of the puzzle, you know, in that team. So obviously when you have to prove yourself again, it's a motivation and it's not always easy. This team has been the best for a very long time, and when you come with the best, they want you to be one of them, and you need consistency for that. And finally now I am having consistency, I'm feeling very important. This manager has trusted me, has given me what I needed, and I'm feeling really important into the team. I feel all the players count on me very much, and I'm probably going through my best spell here, so I'm very happy.
A candid and fascinating insight from Cesc Fabregas into life at Barcelona. Now to Brazil, where the build-up to the World Cup has been dominated by speculation about whether or not some of the stadia due to host the matches will be ready on time. The stadium in the city of Curitiba that's been earmarked for four matches, including one featuring the defending champion Spain, has just five more days to get ready. The Arena da Baixada is one of six stadia that missed FIFA's initial deadline for completion, and according to the FIFA General Secretary Jerome Valca, this is definitely the last chance. If it isn't ready, there is a possibility that FIFA will move those matches to other host cities. By the 18th of February, says Valca, all parties have to decide, quote, whether the stadium is in a position to give us the confidence to hold World Cup matches there without risking the organisation of the event. World Football's Bruce Douglas has been to Curitiba for an inspection of his own.
It's not just the stadium that's behind schedule in Curitiba. The new expressway from the airport is still under construction. Still, the drive into town was alleviated slightly by listening to Atlético Paranaense take on Curitiba in the local derby. Atlético Paranaense, also known as the Big Hurricane, moved out of their stadium in 2001 to make way for the upgrade to a FIFA-compliant arena. Under the plans presented by the city, the 25,000-seater stadium would gain a fourth stand and an extra 20,000 seats. thanks to a complex financial arrangement between the club, the city and regional governments, as well as the Brazilian State Development Bank. But soon the budget ballooned, the money dried up, and the investors started blaming each other. The day after Atletico's 3-0 victory over Curitiba, I met Nilton Cesar, who was proudly sporting the club's red and black strip in a furniture shop downtown. Like most Hurricane fans, he blamed the local government for the delays.
The reason the works at the stadium are delayed is because they didn't hand over the funds to the club, from what I can tell. For me, it's the regional government to blame, as well as the mayor's office and the federal government for not handing over the money in time.
Contrary to popular belief, not everyone in Brazil is a football fan. José Carlos de Lima is a taxi driver and a self-confessed angry man. He listens to Hare Krishna mantras when driving in order to lower his stress levels. But he risks losing his serenity when I ask him why the stadium is so delayed.
Corruption is the only answer that I can say to you. Because we know there is money, but if you have not time enough, can come anyone, your father, your mother, your daughter, your brother, to work and get the money of the government. That's why they are very late.
Aqui tem Ronaldo, né? Uma foto com Ronaldo, uma foto com Pelé, né?
Photos of all types of footballing celebrities, from Ronaldo to Pelé to Sepp Blatter, are plastered across the walls of Mario Celso Cunha's office. He's the head of the World Cup Organising Committee in Curitiba, and the man tasked with ensuring that the stadium does meet FIFA's deadline. I asked him if there would be any World Cup games in the city.
We hope so. Now we have a management committee with representatives from everyone, including FIFA. Now we are sorting out priorities, who is putting in the chairs, who is in charge of the lighting, the dressing rooms. So we've increased our work pace by 20 or 30%. Atletico have hired more workers too, which speeds things up.
What will be the consequences for the city if there is no World Cup here?
It would be a disaster, not only for Curitiba, but it would be a disaster for Brazil and a disaster for FIFA. It would be a humiliation for FIFA, for Brazil, for Atlético. Lots of tourists have already booked their hotel rooms and applied for match tickets. If Curitiba is kicked out of the cup, FIFA have already said they will stick with the other 11 and they would distribute Curitiba's games to other cities. We just don't think that's possible. We think we will have the World Cup here, and we will host the 4 games and 10 teams here.
Finally, I went to see the stadium itself. Mauricio Mané, a press officer for the club, showed me around.
Of the requests FIFA made, all that's left to do is to finish the roof, rig the lighting, and install a sound system. The pitch, which they also wanted to see complete, is now done, but we still have to fit most of the chairs. That's the new side of the stadium that previously didn't exist, so that was built from scratch. The roof was altered. All of the stands were rebuilt. The pitch was changed as well. Now the stands are even closer. Of all the World Cup cities, fans will be closest to the pitch here.
How much of the stadium is now ready?
It's around 90 to 92% ready.
So just walking up some stairs, still walking through rubble, bits of plaster, exposed electrical wiring, and looking at some glass screens, and I'm guessing these are the VIP areas.
Essa é a parte VIP do estádio.
So now we've gone through the VIP centre with its strong smell of paint, and we've been wafted with the scent of soldering metal. We're looking out on what's going to be the car park, and at the moment it just consists of lots of spurs of rusting metal and a lot of workmen setting about their tasks. Are you confident that you will pass the test on the 18th?
Definitely. We've done all they asked of us to get all clear on the 18th, so we won't have any problems.
What happens if you don't finish it?
That's a good question. No one is prepared to think about that possibility.
Bruce Douglas reporting from Curitiba, where, by the sound of things, there's still work to be done. You're listening to World Football on the BBC World Service with me, Manny Jasmi. Now, Bosnia, Croatia, Kosovo, Turkey, Macedonia, Italy, Germany, Serbia, Spain, Chile, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Cape Verde and Switzerland. No, it's not a new international tournament. Those are the countries represented by the 26 players who played for Switzerland in qualifying for the 2014 World Cup. The players in question were either born in those countries or have parents who were. And they're players who performed so well that Switzerland were amongst the top seeds in the World Cup draw. 2 weeks ago, the Swiss and Juventus defender Stefan Lichtsteiner told us how beneficial the introduction of players with immigrant backgrounds has been for the national team.
People come to us, we give them a chance that they can do well in our country. Then, of course, now we see a national team with so many names different, but I think it's the national team with the most quality that the Switzerland has ever seen.
But could the multinational complexion of the Swiss national team become a thing of the past? On Sunday, 50.4% of Swiss people voted to introduce strict quotas on immigration, mainly affecting people from countries in the European Union. Earlier, to discuss the implications of the vote for Swiss football, I was joined by the former Grasshoppers Zurich and Tottenham Hotspur defender Ramon Vega, who played 23 times for Switzerland and whose parents emigrated there from Spain. And firstly, Lutzi Stamm, who's a vice president of the right-wing Swiss People's Party, who effectively won the vote.
Since we introduced the free movement of persons with the European Union 12 years ago, Switzerland cannot control the immigration anymore. And the vote of our population a few days ago is very simple. It said, hey, government, you have to change these contracts. In the future, we want to control the immigration again.
Ramon Vega, what do you think of this vote?
The economy is flourishing well, but at the same time, too much people coming into the country or eating up the economy. From that point of view, I would be pro in terms of controlling that impact. On the other hand, I'm a product of a person coming, immigrating us and give the opportunity to give that opportunity to quality people want to add value to the Swiss economy. And these people should have a chance to come to Switzerland.
The list you named in the beginning with all these international football players we have is impressive, and it shows how international Switzerland is. But any independent country has to control in a certain way the immigration. That does not mean in any means that we do not want to accept immigration anymore, also from countries where they play football.
But inevitably, you will limit the potential, won't you? If there are fewer immigrants coming into your country, then the chances of players like Jordan Shaqiri, the Bayern Munich player, of playing for Switzerland will be reduced.
That's correct. I admit, if you take Kosovo, if you take Macedonia, etc., we had such a high immigration that, of course, we have many people from there 20 years later or 10 years later. They came with their parents. Later on, they became football stars. That's clear. But it cannot be an answer that everybody from these countries, let's take Egypt, let's take Tunisia, and the answer cannot be that everybody can move into Switzerland just because you're hoping that you will have a better football team.
Ramon, as somebody who represented Switzerland as a child of immigrants to the country, how does this make you feel to listen to opinions like Lutzi's?
Well, you know, you've got mixed feelings, you know, because one part of us, and I'm still very proud that I represent Switzerland in the World Cups and European Championships, etc. Because I was born and grew up there. I went through the whole Swiss system, etc. You know, you feel as a Swiss, but I still had the Spanish influence. My parents had a completely different environment than I had. And my parents were very lucky to have been accepted by Switzerland to give me a very good environment. Makes you a little bit sad that potentially other people like myself and my parents don't have the chance to do that. But on the other hand, I also have to realize as well that he's right as well. There's some part, the economy is such a small country, to just let pretty much everybody walk into it and not having control. So it's a very kind of thin line. How do you address this? Because it kind of offend a lot of people, people like myself who came in all my parents 50 years ago, all the world, because that's a marketing and society as well for Switzerland as well, that Switzerland suddenly don't like foreigners. And I think we need to be very, very careful how actually Mr. Stamm should address this.
This is a total misunderstanding. I hope, and I can say, Switzerland is such an open-minded country in the sense we have very many people who are married with foreign people. We have a tremendous immigration. I was proud that Mr. Vega was playing for Switzerland at the time. We are very proud to have immigrants who represent Switzerland. But everything in this world is a question of quantity also.
Ramon Vega, do you fear for the future of the Swiss national team if there's a smaller pool of talent to pick from amongst the immigrant community?
That's a very difficult question to answer because you don't know what the future lies in the football and the Swiss football side as such. We definitely created the last 20 years a team with a lot of immigration and foreign players. Actually, the team today is definitely one of the strongest we had. Going forward, yeah, it will have an impact potentially in that. Maybe in the longer term, for sure, it will have a little impact. That suddenly, we might not have a certain quality Yugoslav, ex-Yugoslav player, or ex-Spaniard or Italian background, or actually who has a great talent and can't be able to play for the national team.
Well, luckily for Switzerland, this current generation is very young, so you'll have them around for at least 10 or 15 more years. And I think many people are fascinated to see how the team goes in the World Cup, but we'll have to leave it there. Lutzi Stamm from the Swiss People's Party and Ramon Vega, former Switzerland defender, thank you both very much for joining me and good luck at the World Cup.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you.
Finally this week, a chance to hear some more from the Ajax manager Frank de Boer. In 2010, he was assistant to the Dutch coach Bert van Marwijk at the World Cup when the Netherlands lost in the final. But the Dutch got there with a brand of football that many fans regarded as going against the total football principles that were made famous by the Johan Cruyff generation. That view was hardened when Nigel de Jong committed a tackle that resembled a kung fu kick on the Spain midfielder Xavi Alonso in that final. But how fair were those criticisms?
In one way, you're right, the other way, not. Because before we played the World Cup, when we were playing our qualifying games and also the friendly games before the World Cup, we played some fantastic football. I think in the last game that we played against Hungary here in the arena, we won 7-1 or something, but with unbelievable, beautiful football like Barcelona football. But in the World Cup, we didn't have the form like we had before the qualification and the friendly game. So, and that was the good thing about this team. Okay, we are not in the greatest form, but we know exactly what to do. And if it's not on the beautiful side, then it's on the rough side. And
you could win ugly.
Yeah, we can win ugly. And that was normally, it's not really Dutch way. And we changed that a little bit, that if we don't play well, we still win. And that was the first mission of, I think, and it was a very important mission of Van Marwijk. I said, okay, I want you to play beautiful, but if we have a bad day, we draw or we still win. In 98, when I played the semi-final against Brazil, we were one of the outsiders. But if we really believe that we were one of the favorites, we will maybe won the World Cup. And that's the change that we brought into the South Africa in 2010, that you know you have to really believe that you can win it. And that's a compliment to Bert van Marwijk, that okay, we're not playing well, but we still reached the final at that moment. And yeah, I think that's a great achievement.
So what happened in Euro 2012 when Holland didn't win any games?
The chemistry in the team wasn't there because Huntelaar was fit, Van Persie was fit, Van der Vaart was fit. Everybody was fit at that moment. And they could not accept that they were on the bench, you know. So there was not that chemistry that worked for each other. And that you saw back in the team. Now, Huntelaar was playing and Van Persie was on the bench. And it was, you know, and in 2010, Van Persie or Huntelaar came back from injury. So he was said, okay, yeah, I didn't play for a long time. And I think Van der Vaart was the same. So they accepted to sit on the bench, you know, and there was chemistry. But in 2012, there was no chemistry.
So what do you think then for Holland at the World Cup? It's going to be difficult, isn't it, with six South American teams in South America. What do you think is a realistic aim, especially given that you're in a group with Spain and Chile? Is it just to get out of the group will be difficult?
It's going to be very difficult. But I think Louis van Gaal will manage a good Dutch team. And they have to be 100% if they're going to beat, you know, Spain and Chile. That's for that I'm convinced. But we have still a chance because if everybody is fit, especially the midfielders and the three in front, you know, the strikers, we have a good team. Only, you know, in the back, it's still, you know, a little bit weak. It's, you know, there are a lot of options, but not really a straight option. Okay, he's going to play right central defender or left central defender. But we have a good goalkeeper, but we have to play 100% to go through to the second phase.
The Ajax coach, Frank de Boer. And that's all for this week. Remember, if you want to download World Football, just go to our website. That's bbcworldservice.com/worldfootball. And you can also follow us on Twitter at @WSWorldFootball. Do join me and Caroline Barker for Sports Hour on Saturday at 10 GMT. But if you can't, until next week, always remember, World Service, World Football.